Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly from Seaman High School with the KWCA podcast. Scott City's John Lippelman retired in 2018 after a distinguished 39-year career that included 5 state titles and 25 top 10 finishes at the state tournament. Lippelman's interest and success in the sport was developed at powerhouse Decatur High School in Oberlin under the direction of Buzz Madsen. He finished in third place in both the 1974 and 75 state tournaments and was part of the state championship team in 1975. He was also a runner-up at Grand State in 1975. Tiny Oberlin was second to Dwayne Miller's powerhouse Cape and Mount Carmel teams in both the 1975 and 76 Grand State event, the only years that the tournament was contested. Coach Lippelman spent his entire career at Scott City High School and went out on top with his 5th state championship in 2018. It didn't take long for his peers to recognize the really special thing that he built in Scott City. He will officially be brought into the Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association Hall of Fame on Saturday afternoon when the annual fall clinic concludes with its awards banquet. Coach Lippelman joins us on the line today. Coach, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
So tell us how you were introduced to the sport of wrestling, and what was it about the sport that kept you active in competing and coaching for so long?
My introduction is probably a little different than quite a few. Heck, I was older than dirt, so we started back in the day. My school years started out at a one-room schoolhouse 16 miles out in the country, and that's where I went the first 3 years of my school years, and it was my two brothers and me and about 6 other families, which ended up being about 13 boys and 4 girls in this schoolhouse ran, and everything was roughneck play and but good, hard and fun, and everybody helped each other in the class and out of the class, and it was just that good old rural upbringing. But like everything else, teachers move on, people pass, it's hard to keep things like that open, and they moved our little Plainview schoolhouse group to Oberlin, to the city schools, and we started that municipal thing, and in classes of, instead of having only 2 other classmates in the whole class, having 3 classrooms of classmates, and but it was introduced to PE classes and recesses just didn't include fist fights and baseball. We went through till the 5th grade year was when the introduction, Buzz Madsen and his assistant came over to the elementary to a PE class and watched and observed and asked a few of us out of that class if we was interested in trying a little of the sport of wrestling, organized sport of wrestling. And if we do this, we'd have an opportunity to learn with other junior high kids right along with their programs. And then we'd get a chance to show our talents to the town or your folks or whoever in between the weight classes at the popcorn sales or whatever during the varsity duel that the schools always had back then on Friday night. And so we went through 2 weeks of junior high wrestling practice and things like that. And half of you, 4 of you, got matched up together. And when the 145-pound class of varsity high school was over, they sent them off to their popcorn break, and they'd put us little tug-ruggers out there, and we'd get to have our match. And that's the way it went. And 2 of you would go 1 week, and 2 of you, another group of 2, would go the next week. And if you liked the sports, you stayed out for practice. If you couldn't end up lasting there any longer, you decided something else. And that was the introduction of a Lippelman wrestling program. And it kind of moved from there after we moved into the regular junior high. There was opportunities to do a little of that Kansas kids to move to not so much the weekly tournaments at every town along the way, but you had a chance to qualify for that big tournament that was held in Manhattan, Kansas, at Ahern Stadium, where, I don't know, I might have been a big little kid, but it seemed like nothing but mats in the end, and we wrestled until you just about couldn't wrestle anymore for 2 to 3 days there. And I did that a couple times, and I was sold. It was me. There was nothing else like it. My brothers couldn't or hadn't done much of it. My neighbors around that we all went to with that one room school, quite a few of them kicked in. They all loved it. We was all boys and loved that sort of thing. And it just became a club and a thing that you had to do. It was all ran a little different. You know, all the duels was a little, you know, you didn't get near the matches back in those days as you do now. You get so much talent or time to learn your talent into these high school years. You could really perfect it and become stellar. Ours started out being tough, being wise enough not to ever get in deep trouble and to be just gritty enough never to give in. And so that's kind of how it bit hold, you know. That's what made those duels. You didn't have any certified weight. You could weigh 145 and wrestle the 100 unlimited pound class in those days. And sometimes the old farmers would come see how tough that one old farm kid was, because they didn't think anybody could pin him. And they'd bet their apple pies and their pork loin sandwiches to see who had the toughest kid at that weight or whatever. And that's what made dual wrestling back in the old days. And that's what put the excitement to it. You didn't have these 16 to 32 team 3-day tournaments that you got to go to and express your talent through Oklahoma, Colorado, Texas, Nebraska. You might only been in Kansas or one state line away, but that wasn't meaning that everybody and their uncle or their brother didn't want to see what you had or how tough you was to knock somebody down off their feet. There was no end of the match because of the 15-point lead. There was no technical falls. Back in those days, it was mop them up, throw them out there, and just keep going to see if you could either pin them or just win by the final bell. Okay. And I guess that's what grabbed hold.
Fascinating story. I really love that origin story about how, you know, Coach Mattson came out and observed you and kind of, you know, picked a few kids that looked like they were wrestlers and you know, the rest is history. That just really is a fascinating story, really. So you intended to wrestle at Pratt Community College after high school, but the program was dropped after you arrived and you jumped into football there and later at Pitt State. What was your experience like as a college football player? And do you have any regrets about not getting the opportunity to wrestle in college?
Oh, sure. Like all college age student athletes, whatever, you get your mind set. And to be told the program was dropped around August, I think it was 6th or something in there, it broke my heart. I wasn't sure I was going to school. First of all, I thought I went to wrestle Colby Community College, but the old boy from St. Francis, Kansas, that beat me in the Grand State, already signed his letter up to go there. So my spot was kind of edged out. So by George, I was going somewhere I could try to get another shot. And we played, but those coaches come on in and from Pratt JUCO, and they didn't want to see us that already made our mind that Pratt PCC was all right place to do their athletics. And And they offered the athletic same scholarship to come over and play football. And what heavyweight kid doesn't enjoy playing football, even though back then I think we was just barely over the 215 to 220 pounds, you know. Not that there wasn't bigger kids, it's just they seem to keep growing larger and larger all the way through. And I enjoyed my days. I started out, I knew my blistering speed was not some of those. That was the 6'4", 250-pound athlete. So I kind of got moved to a guard. I wasn't an offensive tackle. I wasn't quite lean and long enough to do the defense thing, but offense is all I have me. I'm technically sound. I like the game. I understand the concept. I sometimes don't like to play four games in a row of 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That'll drive a lineman insane. But the rewards of the wins are always great. It's all right to mess up, but that doesn't mean anybody forgave you for it. JUCO, I started about halfway through the season, being it was just a 2-year school. Freshman, sophomore was it. I had a good shot. I could do that thing. It was really fun. We wasn't exceptionally great. We didn't have a tall quarterback, but he was trying just like the rest of us and had some amazing things. We had punters and kickers that I didn't know you could have coming out of high school, yet they was only average once you got to the college, and you'd play people out of Cali County and Randleman's Red Raiders down there, Ron Springs that played for the Dallas Cowboys. There was, you would run into athletes that would make us poor little fat farm boys sit there with our mouth hang open just to watch them streak down the field. And the fastest thing we had would only look like a puppy dog in the dirt chasing behind.
With your longevity at Scott City, which was the only stop in your career, I did a little analysis of your state tournament log, and I'd like to get a little insight about a few of the items that stood out to me. During your first 6 seasons, from 1979-80 to 1984-85, you served as an assistant coach. The Beavers finished outside of the top 10 at state during all of those seasons, and during your first season as head coach in 1985-86. During the next 8 seasons, the guys finished in the top 10 every year and brought home 4 state trophies, including 2 state titles. What was it about those early foundation years that set the program up for the success that eventually came?
Well, who knows? Now, we could always gather and guess, and that's what, boy, if we could write a book and everybody just take it, it'd be wonderful. But I'll tell you the way it worked. Come out of school, I was ready to work. I was pumped. I was going to get my shot back at wrestling. I was going to be a chance to do that. With the fear in the back, you've never ran a program by yourself. Well, in between that month or two of 1979-80 that I finished up, when I first came to Scott City and just got my job, they hired a new man to lead that program. Now, I was under the understanding with me, but I signed no work. I just that was given there. Well, the new man was Chuck Lovenstein. And Chuck Lovenstein, it doesn't take me long. I know few people, especially Western Kansas. I start talking. I find out where he's from. He's been around to Phillipsburg, Norton, Beloit. He's been to a few of these places. He's ran a lot of kids programs. He's been assistant to most programs, and he started doing the head stuff. And I said, I could use this. This is probably what is going to help me be the best that I can be. And it was different, all right. It was no Buzz Mattson, Gus Garcia, Jake Durham, Pudge Wilson ran practice. This thing was led with respect. This thing was led with order, with military marching and things in a room, which made me scratch my head for a while. But it put people together. It put people in squads and made quick little leaders out of small groups and lieutenants and things throughout the bunch. And then when it come to wrestling, back then we didn't have a lot of high technology. It was mostly out of a book. We'd flop on our bellies in the big circle where we usually seen the kids demonstrate the moves, or the coach show you how to break free of a two-on-one or whatever. And we'd open this book and we'd go to where Jose was telling us how to get a hold of a single leg and put a man to the ground. And we'd go through that, and then we'd have a couple people show how that was due. And Coach Lovenstein would try to help out and sharpen a few of those things. And then I would get a little of my chance. It worked that way for a little while. And I told him, hey, Coach, you know, at a now 300 and some pound man, why don't you let me work with the bigger guys? I could show them how to knock them to the ground a little easier than I could show that 98 or that 105 pounder how to sweep a leg. And you could do your thing and I would do mine. And we went, broke up the wrestling group, and I went up on an upper P platform after opening drills and warm-ups and team talk. And he would take the younger ones down on the stage and we'd go through whatever moves, operations, techniques, drills we decided we wanted. If he seen something up there, he wanted some of mine down on the stage, I'd send two of my boys down to demonstrate, and I'd do the same for his. Take a couple of his younger ones up and see how that Russian tie or whatever worked the best for him, because being at that heavyweight class, there is not a lot of finesse off of the feet that you're going to find. But I knew in order to be successful high school wrestling, you're going to have to knock people down. You no longer was going to be able to depend on getting on top and polishing them off in a pin move. You was going to have to knock them off their feet. And so I worked on a lot of takedown techniques. We worked on our coaching stuff together. We went through the things, and we had a few heroes. We had a few pretty good wrestlers. The coach's Lovenstein's son was a couple times second medalist and thing. But we couldn't seem to get that group. And I knew from Oberlin, a group is what makes state trophies. When Chuck left and was moving on to Hoisington from there, he says, you're going to have some great ones here. I don't know, Lip, if you could get enough of them together to get that state title, but you're going to win your state champions. And I took that as kind of a slap. My goodness, there's enough good athletes right here that I've seen them in the room from those early high school years that I knew we could work their skill level high enough. We could get them in shape, because nobody's going to win anything if you're only halfway into this thing. And that's what we do. I'd have to tell you, our success came from mentally preparing the kids to be winners, to physically making sure that they could go two mats back to back over time, no matter where they was at, and to learn how to knock them off their feet. And that's how simple state championships are.
Fascinating stuff. With the success that the program became accustomed to, there are a few years peppered in there during the time when a team kind of cycled out of the top 10 at state, but they always bounced back. What does this pattern say about your coaching style and about the groups that came and went through the program?
Well, again, it takes a group, and you can't build a group in 2 years. You could put a force together, but you cannot build a group. Somebody's tight knit, knows what it takes for the guy that's not so good not to get pinned in a tournament, in order that you can now put the bigger points ahead, know how to finish up a match without giving up a takedown if one is all you got. Being able to practice without just going halfway, what we call brother-in-law on it. You're going to have to learn to go hard yet enjoy it, because it's all for the better a part of it. Grin and bear it, we call it. And that will bring maybe not that supreme athlete up to the medal rounds, if he will believe in that sort of thing, work hard at it. 4 years, more will really help. The quicker you get at it, the more it helps. And that's probably where the closer ones put back to back was the younger kids coming out of a kid's program and putting it together earlier and being that group earlier. But to bounce up and down, I think ours is that the good ones will get you picture in the paper, but the ones that work really hard, the ones that improve the most, are going to be those kids who probably are starting off a lot below medium or halfway. And those are the ones that are going to show you that placement in qualifying, whatever you want to call it, out of those earlier rounds or through the regional or your own league championships, to show them that they can get success in their team pride, and poof, there they are now working on a state caliber kid.
39 seasons in all, 33 as head coach, 25 top 10 state finishes, 8 state trophies, 5 state titles. What teams or individuals stand out to you as you reflect on your career?
Well, see, you should have asked me that before I was old. Somewhere around I was about 29 instead of 39. No, I remember all the kids and faces. Right now, they're beginning to blur if I had them 4 years earlier than this one or not. There's always that first state championship. Those early years, like you talked, those first 6 years, I believe it was. We was also in the Northwest Kansas League conference. So we had to compete with these people. Well, they already told us Scott City was not a wrestling town. They invited us so they could play basketball down here with those kids that couldn't wrestle. And that was pretty much the attitude when we went, me and Chuck Lovenstein went through those early 80 years. And truthful enough, that quite a few of the league tournaments, we was home right after the dinner break. We didn't have to hang around for that third and fourth and first and second round. It wasn't us to be in. And coming from that area, sure, it puts a damn chip on your shoulder. And does that chip get carried on? Well, that's probably part of the coaching that people could talk about. You could try, but everybody has their own style. Sometimes it's a little mean. Sometimes it's a little loud. Sometimes maybe you stick a finger in people's chest. Understand you have to have love to go along with the coaching direction, let's say, that you're using. And we used a lot of that quickly, and we talked to a lot of the folks, and we got those early kids to buy in. And not only did they buy in, their uncles bought in, their brothers bought in. And that's probably what made Scott City now build from that tradition of, we can do this, to, you can't stop us. And our kids, you still, no matter which horse tank you go to, you're going to run out of water every once in a while. And that doesn't mean you give up. That means you get on the pump a little harder and you just start pumping. But it's going to take a while to fill it up so you could have a team again. And that's just the way it worked.
So in 2011, Terry Alley ended his 36-year coaching career with Andover Central's first state championship. At that time, I remember thinking that it was such a fairy tale way to go out of your career. What did it mean to you to end your career on a state championship?
Well, it was a goal we had when I started, me and my wife. It's something we talked about, we was wanting to do. As far as stopping on it, what better place? I'm not going to leave the cupboard bare. I left three state finalists coming back. If the team of assistants I had that was going to move into the coaching shoes could not take that group with those leaders and progress. I didn't quite teach them enough when they was younger, because all three of those assistants I've had throughout the years and different programs, some of them state championships, some of them not non-placers, but all of them are heroes in our book, and they have worked hard and stretched their knowledge, and they're doing a great job. Yeah, leaving on a winner, it sure feels better than having the bully of the room kick you and throw you out the door, and you have to say, yeah, but I did all right the day before. It's always better to go out with the win. And not leaving the cupboard bare, that was my purpose. I've seen a lot of great coaches do a lot of things 4 or 5 years in a row. All the kids graduated, or the leader's gone, and they go, thank you, little community. I'm going to a bigger job. Well, I'm not going to any bigger job. I'm wanting things to continue. So we didn't do that sort of thing. And they also, maybe they won't forget you. You just keep coming back and saying, yeah, my last year we won one too. And it's just kind of cool.
Okay, so I want to read a passage from Kevin Thompson of the Garden City Telegraph that he wrote after the 2018 state tournament. And I quote, sporting jeans, a coat, tie, and Beavers ball cap, Coach John Lippelman in his 39th year with Scott City was named the meet's Coach of the Year, but it's the team to which he gives all the credit. End quote. I thought Thompson summed it up quite well. Tell us about your attire, how that came to be. The hat especially came to be your signature. Is there any special significance to that hat or in your chosen apparel?
Well, I've always been just an old farm boy. And I've wore a cap all my life. My mom told me it was sunny out there, and you either had to drink twice as much water or wear a hat. So by George, I wore a hat. Along the way, there's always been little nicks and grannies. I was the smart aleck high school kid, and we're weighing in shoulder to shoulder before our dual meet on Friday morning. And I stepped up on the scale, and Rocky Welton out of Goodland, Kansas says, you got to be stripped. I said, really? And he goes, yes, sir. And I said, okay. And I stepped to the corner and I dropped trowel, except I left my hat on. I stood back on there. And he says, sir, did you get it all off? And I said, well, I can't see any and down there. And he goes, well, I believe you're wearing a hat. And I said, well, so I am. Is that in the rule book? And he goes, I don't know. I'll have to look. And ever since then, I have wore a wrestling cap and hat to wrestling matches, to weigh-ins, to fancy award things, to NCAA tournament finals. It's just what I am.
So can we expect to see the hat at the Hall of Fame banquet?
you know what? There'll be one on the pitcher and one on my head. I did have to go to the closet and find another one. My old last one I got for the state championship, that's kind of just an old blue fake computerized. It was beginning to fray a little here, and my wife told me I had to look a little better than the dog-eared hat. So I found one, and it'll be on.
Okay. So realistically, given the career that you had, entry into the KWCA Hall of Fame was never in question. But what does the honor mean to you and the fact that your peers thought enough of you to stamp the nomination so soon after your retirement?
Yeah, they're just trying to make old men cry, I think, you know. No, it means a huge deal that you don't do anything for 39 years or even longer. You don't share it with your wife or your family or anything else day after day, at least 9 months a year. But we all know the good ones. It's 12 months a year. Your entertainment is not wrestling if it's not truly what you love. And to have people say that you was different, a little standout, or a just marked it your own way, whatever it was, sure, it's a big honor. I don't know of too many bigger, you know. I guess you always think your dad could say, well, son, that's the best I ever seen anybody do. Or you could have your peers say the exact same thing. So that's, like I said, you guys are just all choking up us old fat guys. But what else do we have left to do these days?
So you packed up and moved south to Texas. What has retirement been like for you, and how are you spending your days?
Well, my first year down there, I had more learning of flash drives, Skype, streaming wrestling, huddle matches. I've been nagging and phoning and texting everybody from parents to coaches to open spaces in Kobe and everything else to get this damn thing working on the computer so I could watch, because down South Texas, there isn't much wrestling. And I knew I either had to get away or I was going to be just like that cranky old mother-in-law sitting in the corner saying, you can't cook it that way. That ain't how it's done. You got to do it the way we always done it. And so I got out of the picture. I've done a lot of athlete texting, saying good job, doing the old shoulder patting. I did enough of the screaming and directing. It's time for somebody else now. If they want to ask, I'll let them know what I think. But it's I'm beginning to relax my lawn chair that I watch wintertime wrestling from the outside of my camper on the beach of Crystal Beach is beginning not to have those cheek marks pinched in it quite so tight after every one of those matches. I can sit and enjoy that thing. And finding out I'm still the nosy old dirt guy that around, and I got to find out what's going on. But as far as getting rid of wrestling, that's probably never going to happen. I never had so many Texas people go, Beaver wrestling, what's that? And I said, well, you got to see it happen once before you can believe it.
All right, so we have been visiting with John Lippelman, one of three 2019 KWCA Hall of Fame inductees. Coach, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Congratulations, and thank you for your years of service to the sport and the lives you impacted.
Hey, thanks a bunch. We enjoyed your podcast. We know you're strengthening the program across Kansas and in the United States, and we appreciate that work, too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Coach. This has been Patrick Kelly, hoping to see you at the 2019 KWCA Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic this weekend in Salina. Until next time, thanks for listening.